Citigroup joins the payback party.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. There are reports this morning that Citigroup could announce as soon as today that it will pay back a chunk of its TARP money. Paying back those government loans has been all the rage recently. Yesterday, Bank of America announced it had returned its TARP funds. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite joins us now live. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
What is motivating Citigroup here?
Well, basically, Citi is the last man standing. I mean, they're the last of the big Wall Street banks that hasn't paid back their government bailout money, and that's not a label they're particularly keen to wear. And they have to stick to the rules, of course. They have to stick to the compensation rules laid down by the so-called Paysar, Kenneth Feinberg. And they're really worried about their ability to keep top staff. They'd love to get some kind of repayment plan in place so they can show staff there is light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we are going to stand on our own again.
And how much money are we talking about?
Well, they actually got $45 billion in bailout funds in total, but the government converted $25 billion of that into common stock. So the government now basically owns a third of Citigroup. So they're talking about the other $20 billion that they want to pay back. And they plan to raise the money in the stock market. The pressure's on because they want to do this by the end of the year, and they don't act soon. Investors are all going to break for the holidays, and that would mean putting this off till next year. And they might also raise money by selling some of their businesses, although it's not entirely clear yet whether that's on the agenda.
All right. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite with us live. Thanks, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are slightly higher this morning, despite a top ratings agency lowering its credit rating outlook on Spain to negative. Major Asian markets were down by about 1%. Wall Street gained a little ground yesterday, 0.5%. The Dow added 51 points, closed at 10,337. The push for a tax on bank bonuses may be gathering steam. Yesterday, the UK slapped a 50% tax on parts of the bonuses banks pay to employees. In this morning's Wall Street Journal, the leaders of Britain and France call for a worldwide bonus tax. Some people are less than thrilled. Here to tell us more is economist Andrew Hilton, director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
What is the argument for this one-time bank bonus tax?
Well, in the UK, it's that the Labour government faces an election in about 4 months, and it really wants to portray its opposition party as being in favour of the rich and against the poor, and this is a step in that direction.
The reasoning being the taxpayers helped out the banks when they were down.
The reason is the taxpayers helped out the banks when they were down, but everyone hates the bankers these days. Bankers don't have any friends across the political spectrum, and this is easy point scoring.
What's the reaction to this in London?
Well, the bankers are predictably outraged. For some bizarre reason, they seem to think that they deserve these bonuses. It's only a one-year one-off tax, so one can expect that a Conservative government, and there will be a Conservative government, will reverse it, but not this year. It'll be reversed next year.
So are bankers' cries that this threatens London as a financial center overblown?
Yes, I think so. Of course, if London does continue to impose this bonus tax, and if no one else does it, then, of course, the bankers will think about moving. But they're not going to move if it's a one-shot deal because they've got children in schools, they've got apartments here. It's not that easy to move.
Finally, Andrew, do you think this is a short-term reaction to the recent crisis and bailouts, or are we seeing a long-term change in how big financial powers will regulate their banking systems?
Well, I'd certainly like to think that there was a long-term change on the way, but my fear is to beat an aphorism to death that we're in danger of wasting a good crisis, that instead of looking at the structure of banking, we're looking too much at the structure of regulation and kind of micromanaging the banks. What we really need to do is to restructure the banks so that they don't need to be micromanaged.
Andrew Hilton is director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Meanwhile, the U.S. House today will debate the most sweeping financial regulation changes since the Great Depression. The bill would regulate the over-the-counter derivatives market for the first time, set up a council to police systemic risks, and limit executive pay.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Right around happy hour time in Washington today, the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America will take the stage at the National Press Club. Industry leaders will let us know how the hooch industry is doing. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
Craig Wolf is president of the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America. He says the economy may be recovering, but drinkers are still looking for deals.
The days of the $20 to $60 to $100 bottle of wine are fading very quickly.
He says hard alcohol is avoiding the trend somewhat because there's more brand loyalty with liquor. The other trade down is a move toward buying alcohol in stores instead of buying it at restaurants and bars, which is not to say that bars are emptying out altogether. I stopped into a Manhattan pub called Mustang Sally's. Manager Mike Kelly told me for his customers, it's all about the cheap drink specials these days.
For the ladies, we like to do a $5 Cosmo. And for the gentlemen, we do $4 Jamesons, just in case you need to get the edge off after your day's work. And we've noticed a great after-work trend and buzz in the place.
So you'll drink to that?
I will drink to that, Jeremy. Thank you.
In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, you've noticed how the Christmas season keeps expanding. Today, Easter strikes back. The makers of Peeps, those chicken bunny-shaped marshmallows, are opening their first Peeps store near Washington, D.C., selling Peeps plush toys, Peeps mouse pads, Peeps artwork, 800 different products. Now it's Easter all year round, thanks to Peep Creep. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.